Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Lincoln Journal Star's Life in the Red podcast. As always, Luke Mullen and Amy Just here to break down another week of Nebraska athletics. A lot of seasons still going. You know, last week we were talking about the crossover. They're all still going, still competing. And of course, top of that list right away, wanted to give a shout out, as Matt Rhule did there on Monday, to the soccer team. Fantastic stuff from them, defeating UC Irvine 4-0 in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament, advancing to the Elite Eight. They'll finally be on the road. They've been at home up to this point, going on the road to Stanford. But great all-around effort in that match. I mean, four goals, great from the attack, you know, keep the clean sheet in defense too. Great crowd here too on hand. Really, really good effort from them to advance into quarterfinals, the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's incredible. They do have a tough test ahead of them. Stanford's the number 3 ranked team in the country. They're number 2 seed, I believe. But what Nebraska has done up to this point has been incredible. Eleanor Dale scored 2 goals last week, which tied and then put her in the solo lead for goals in the season for the program history with 26 or 27. It's crazy.
Yeah, a historic season for the soccer program, and looking to keep it going. As you mentioned, I mean, that's a Stanford program that's always at the best, you know, in terms of women's soccer. So to go out there, you know, if they were able to win that one, you know, advance to the Final Four, I mean, all to play for there. So you just have to imagine that the motivation and the excitement that these players are going to feel to go out there playing a big time environment, big time match.
They're one match away. Both of these teams are one match away from a Final Four. It's crazy.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, and it's what, 18 wins, I think, maybe on the year for this Nebraska soccer team. I mean, they've been lights out. So really excited to see what happens for them again, playing Stanford in the Elite Eight. So best of luck and see what transpires there.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Stanford has had several draws this season, but no losses.
Yep. So really, really tough matchup on the way. But of course, you know, we want to give our usual updates for volleyball, women's and men's basketball before we talk about a pretty big football game coming up, Iowa on Black Friday. But lots of other action to get to, action that we caught a little bit of, missed some, you know, other responsibilities. But of course, a lot of eyes on the volleyball team still going strong, 27-0. Now is Nebraska. And the big news this week, of course, the Big Ten championship going on the way, all the way back to Lincoln. They swept Michigan. That was a share of the Big Ten title due to a Wisconsin loss, and then got to beat Iowa, got to celebrate a little bit of an interesting situation with a fake trophy.
Not fake, but so...
I'm gonna say it's fake.
It's not fake. It's just not, but it's not real either. So the real trophy Nebraska got after the win over Michigan, but they didn't want to take the trophy to Iowa. We did not know this at the time. But so in the locker room when Nebraska took the pictures with the trophy and everything, our eagle-eyed friend Aaron Sorensen noticed that Maryland and Rutgers weren't on the trophy. And so we were trying to figure out, where'd the trophy come from? Was it an Iowa trophy that they had won during the 12-team era? And, you know, after I do some research, Aaron does some research, Lincoln Arneal does some research. Nope, they did not win a single Big Ten title during the 12-team era. And we come to find out that that's just the placeholder trophy that... So every school apparently has one. And so you wonder, has the Big Ten given updated placeholder trophies in the last 8 years?
Evidently not.
Or Iowa just grabbed the wrong one. Either way,
whatever they had,
still very strange.
No, I had to bring that up because that had me absolutely like dumbfounded, as I'm sure it did you and Aaron, you know, when you're going through this process.
I'm just like, how? Like, how does this happen?
It just felt so random. Like,
it was just very bizarre. Like, how? How does that happen? But either way, this time next year. I hope that all of the Big Ten schools have new trophies because there's going to be four new teams.
Yeah, they're going to have to make room for some more names on those placeholder trophies. But just an interesting little note, you know, to what is, of course, a very successful, you know, weekend. Those two sweeps and a big crowd, of course, on hand there, sellout crowd, watching Nebraska defeat Iowa. And program's first conference title since 2017. I mean, obviously, if you think about the start of the year, that's always a goal for the team, right? But, you know, once they beat Wisconsin, you know, finally started to get some of those Big Ten matches going, I mean, they just kept that same consistency throughout the entire season, whereas Wisconsin did drop a few of those matches along the way.
Yeah. And to be clear, Wisconsin was without one of its best players for those losses. So, but you still have to find ways to win when you're down athletes. I mean, how many games has Lindsey Crosby missed this season?
I was just going to say that.
So, but obviously when you miss, you know, your star 6'9 player, doesn't help you at all. But yeah, no. So, but still going to be a tough test for them on Friday when they're at Wisconsin's house.
Yeah, that's the big matchup. Number one Nebraska at number five Wisconsin on Black Friday, 3 p.m. after the football game. So adjust your televisions, get ready to continue some viewing there. And then Nebraska will close the season at Minnesota the very next day, the regular season finale on that one on the road. But just, you know, when you think about this regular season, the young team, you know, how they've handled all those different challenges, you know, it's so impressive, A, that they, you know, just won the Big Ten because it's such a tough volleyball conference. And I think the manner in which they did it, I mean, they were pushed in a lot of these matches, but there weren't a ton of, you know, five sets. I mean, they've done their part to come out and take care of business more often than not.
Yeah. I predict there will be another five-setter this weekend.
You think so?
I do. May not be as ugly, might be as ugly, maybe more ugly. I don't know. But it's definitely going to be very interesting.
Yeah, especially as, you know, they're going to be looking ahead to the postseason here very soon. That's the type of team that, you know, will be playing late in the NCAA tournament. So a big test coming up, Nebraska-Wisconsin volleyball for the second time this season. But moving on to basketball, the women's basketball team had a very comfortable 79-32 win over Alcorn State. Think, okay, all well and good. You know, big, easy win. Wrong. Guard Jazz Shelley, ankle injury in that one, had to exit the game. And her status, you know, going up against a very, very strong top 25 opponent against Creighton, that was going to be a concern because Nebraska had just eight healthy players late there against Alcorn State. But she was able to give it a go, and that really helped Nebraska. 79-74 loss, but again, that's a very good Creighton team that's more likely than not going to make the NCAA tournament.
Oh, and I don't think they're just going to make the NCAA tournament. I think, that definitely, you know, the state talks about how good Creighton men's basketball is, but should get over to Sokol sometime. They're pretty
good. The women's team can let it fly just as good as the men's team can.
So, it would not surprise me if they make a deep run. They bring back just about every piece that they had from last year. They've got really, really good players. Morgan Molly, whew.
Yep, I think she had 20 plus points, you know, several three-pointers made in that game. But, of course, it was close because Alexis Markowski, we were kind of discussing that she was going to need to have a big performance. 24 points, Darian White, a double-double. Freshman Natalie Potts, she continues to play very well. 16-point effort in that loss. And you look at the starting lineup, you know, the Nebraska trots out there. I mean, all those players are performing at a very high level right now, and especially Darian White. I mean, we talked about it before the season, how important she was going to be, but her all-around play has just been so impressive so far.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She is the energy boost. I believe Alexis Markowski was the one who called her the Energizer Bunny or something to that effect at
good.
Big Ten Media Days. And that's just what they need. And she's shown it so far.
Absolutely. So after that loss, Nebraska now 3-1 on the season. And they'll get a little bit of a holiday trip down to Florida, playing Lamar and TCU there around that Thanksgiving holiday. So two contests for the women's basketball team this week. And on to the men's basketball team. Still undefeated. 5-0 start for them this year. First time they started 5-0 since the 2008-09 season. That's a throwback, huh?
A little bit. They started 6-0 that year. So if they win tomorrow, that'll be, yeah, tomorrow? No. Yes. I don't know what day it is.
Yep.
Thanksgiving week. I mean, I know it is my birthday, but other than that, I don't know what day of the week it is. But yeah, it's very good for the Husker team thus far. I'm really impressed with how they've played, especially since they haven't played a lot like together because they've had so many injuries and other things going on in the early part of the season and the preseason. But they look really poised and composed. They've been rattled for sure, but so far so good.
Yeah, if they keep winning, you're going to have to keep going back further and further in the record books to find those undefeated starts. And the wins that got them to this point from this last week, 84-63 win over Stony Brook. Pretty slow shooting start there.
Mm-hmm.
Got it going a little bit more in the second half. And Juwan Gary made his season debut in that one.
Yep, he had been suspended. Not sure why, but he looked really good in that game. Not surprising. He's just a really hard worker, really talented. You kind of wondered, you know, what he'd look like early just because he had not played basketball in a very long time after the shoulder injury he sustained early in conference play last year. But yeah, hasn't really missed a beat.
Yeah, brings so much to the team. Intensity, rebounding, hustle, scoring when they need it. I mean, he's a great all-around player. Very good to have in the rotation. So Juwan back in it. And then Nebraska going on the road to a neutral site. Not true on the road, but first game away from home, faced Oregon State in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Also 84-63, kind of odd. Same final score in that one. But good three-point shooting effort. Kind of came in a flurry there. Nebraska pulled away from that one. I think they got up, you know, like 20, 22 points. They really pushed that lead. And a lot of different players contributed. They were able to get a lot of them in the game. But Bryce Williams hit three of those three-pointers. 25-point effort from him. Rink Mass, 15 points, 13 rebounds for the double-double. And starting lineup looked really good there. Depth looked good. You know, admittedly, maybe not, you know, the strongest, you know, power conference opposition in Oregon State. But still, I mean, it was a really cohesive effort throughout that entire game.
To be fair, I feel like they scheduled this game before Oregon State kind of fell off the cliff in terms of production. But you have to win who you're playing against regardless. And I'm still really impressed with Rink. I would imagine he's going to have more double doubles than not this season.
Yep.
Just the way that he crashes the glass and can shoot from anywhere. Yeah, he has been the player that I've been impressed with, I think, the most through the first five games of the season.
I agree. I mean, he just has such a presence in the post, you know, able to guard, play good defense very well, you know, moves really well for a big man. I think I said that several weeks ago. That was like the first thing I noticed. So he's kept that up. Really high level play. Josiah Alec has been great at that spot as well. So 5-0 start for the men's basketball team. Duquesne and Cal State Fullerton are this week's opponents, both coming to Lincoln for a little bit of holiday tournament action there too, just in the sense of who Nebraska is getting into for their schedule. So that's our basketball update. Time to talk some football. And for the third week in a row, we got to talk about a loss. Wisconsin won this one 24-17 in overtime. But I think the big story of the game got to be Chubba Purdy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He looked good. Like, yes, yeah. Nebraska lost, but I don't think it's necessarily because of him. I think that he, you know, came out and did what he was supposed to do, had several explosive plays, especially in the first quarter. That touchdown run that he had was incredible. And then the pass that he made to Jalen Lloyd, whoo, that was exciting. And then it didn't get very exciting after that. But yeah, I think that he did enough to earn the starting job on Friday. Obviously, no one has come out and said that that's going to happen. But if you want to read between the lines, Chuba talked today. And usually that's an indicator that they're going to start. Usually. Not always, but usually.
Yeah, I think we were both sitting up there in the press box. And when he came out, you know, throwing some of those first few passes, like he was slinging it. Like he was throwing darts to these guys, and they were accurate too, you know, spirals. You know, some of them were, you know, short throws, like 5 yards that you'd expect that. But I mean, he was.
First throw of the game, I think, was a screen to Billy.
Yeah, sideways.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
some of those, you know, short passes got him into rhythm. And then, you know, he fired a couple, like Malachi had a, you know, big gainer of 25, you know, on one of those 2 minute drills. I mean, he was accurate with all his passes, you know, threw a really good ball. So that really impressed me too. And at the same time, it was like, you know, we've heard about how he's kind of been dealing with, you know, that injury, the groin injury that's kind of been, you know, staying with him, you know, for the last couple of months. But he looked explosive. He did not look like a guy who was hurting out there.
No, not absolutely not. Which is a good thing. You just wonder when the switch flipped for him, where, you know, he could play like this, but there's no rewriting the past.
Absolutely. But at the same time, you know, Nebraska had that early surge, 14-0 lead behind Purdy. But then, you know, the offense kind of struggled to put it together for a little bit. You know, had a few punts, a few three and outs. And I think this was just kind of a game where the offense had some moments, the defense had some moments, but they didn't come at the same time.
And the special teams did not have a moment.
Bad special teams game, bad. Certainly.
Liability. That's a big reason why they lost that game.
Yeah, but I think we got to talk about it. The end of regulation clock management. Matt Rhule gave a very good, you know, in-depth answer about his reasoning there on Monday, but I still kind of disagree, to be honest.
Well, it's a philosophy thing. There's no right or wrong answer.
My thinking was, you know, Johnson gets down. Purdy's been moving the ball really well, you know, passing on that drive. And I think the what Rhule said, kind of the happy medium where he would have wished he called a timeout with 30 seconds as opposed to ticking it down to 20. I think that would have placated most people, myself included, you know, to have more chances to get the ball, you know, into the end zone if you did pick up that first down. But it does make sense, kind of a little bit of a risk management situation there. He was concerned about if Nebraska got stopped on that third down. You know, if he'd called that timeout right away, it would have given Wisconsin time to, you know, drive down the field of their own.
Yeah, and, you know, that's fine. But I remember us sitting there in the first half.
Yep.
As time was ticking down. Call timeout. So, like, this is, he's thought about these things and feels the way he feels about them. But, yeah, no. I was very confused in the moment because I was in the concourse watching like half of the field because the other half of it was blocked. So all of us who were down there were very confused as to what was going on because we didn't have any context whatsoever. So
yeah,
very odd. But look, I get it. He was crucified last week for being a little aggressive and throw in there and having the pick in that late game situation. But I don't know. I think they're two very different situations.
I totally agree because against Maryland, it felt like they kind of got a little lucky on that drive. Like Chubb had just come into the game, like, you know, they were getting some plays together. But at the same time, I mean, it had been a rough offensive game, right? Like, and the defense had been, you know, stepping up in some big moments, even when Maryland had been moving the ball. Like this time, yes, the offense had been going in those lulls, but I mean, it was a really good drive. Chuba had led a couple other really good drives. Emma Johnson had been running really well. It felt to me a situation where you could have been a lot more aggressive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I just, one timeout, I think would have, like you said, placated people. Mm-hmm. But I guess we'll never know.
Yeah. And I mean, the point is too, like Rhule was saying, he wanted to give his defense a chance to win it in overtime. They had two third and longs that Wisconsin did convert there in overtime. I mean, if the defense stepped up, you know, forced a stop or, you know, a big play there in overtime, it'd be Rule's a genius. You know, he knew his defense was going to come out there in overtime and win it. Like, so
I don't know. I think I still would have asked about the,
It would still be a little questionable, but of course, I mean, he wanted to give his defense a chance. That's what happened. And of course, second guessing, that's always going to happen with these head coaching decisions. Don't envy that at all. So that's kind of what transpired there at the end of that Wisconsin game. But Nebraska's got to put it in the past because 5-6, one chance left to get to a bowl game. It's Iowa who stands in their way. This is a pretty predictable game here because it's the two worst Power 5 passing offenses in the entire country. Only Army, Navy, and Air Force have thrown for fewer yards than these two teams.
Joy.
And it's no surprise, of course, that another all-time low spread total has come out. It's going to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, very low-scoring. Like, we're going to be in for a slugfest, a defensive slugfest that will hurt because it's going to be cold.
Yeah, the ultimate Big Ten West game, probably barely above freezing.
One of the last Big Ten West games. Sad.
It'll be glorious. It'll be missed.
I will miss you, Big Ten West, for all of your, I almost said an expletive, bad. Let's just say bad.
Yeah. Football. Absolutely. And just looking at this Iowa team a little bit more, like, obviously, they had the Michigan transfer, Caden McNamara, come in at quarterback. Played pretty well to start the year, but still a somewhat limited passing offense. He got hurt, season-ending injury. Deacon Hill comes in his first couple weeks, I mean, I thought he looked awful as a passer. I mean, I don't want to sugarcoat it. Like, he was really struggling to make short throws that you'd expect any quarterback to make. The last two or three weeks, I mean, he's been a completely different player. He's made all those throws. They've been able to get some big, you know, like 20-yard gains there in the passing game, which has helped Iowa pick up some of these recent wins. And really crucial because they don't have the same run game that they had in different years. I mean, they'll still try to run it, still try to control the clock, good offensive line scheme that they have, but they haven't been able to rely on the run like they have in other seasons. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Deacon Hill performs against this Nebraska defense.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to have a very successful day.
Yeah, it's going to be tough because their best passing targets, you know, are hurt too. You know, this Nebraska defense has done very well against teams like this who do keep it low scoring, you know, limit possession. So I'm just going to be interested, like, how many punts are going to take place in this game?
Whatever happens, Nebraska better figure it out.
Yeah.
Because I like Brian Buscini. I think he's a good player, but he has been off. Last week was it was a rough day for him. Mm-hmm. And he's had a couple of those games this season. So you hope that Nebraska gets that figured out because Iowa's punter is like the best punter in the country. Yep. Will probably should definitely win the Rig Eye Award. So,
yep, top five punting net, which I'm sure he's not always trying to boom it. You know, some more situational kicks come into factor too. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, like, Nebraska doesn't return a lot of punts very well either. That's something that they've tried to do, but
failed.
Still a process. So I think special teams is going to play a major, major factor in this game. And of course, with everything on the line, the bowl game, you expect motivation to be at an all-time high. That's never been a question, Matt Rhule has said, for this team. Like, he's always said that they've been motivated, that they've played hard, but there's going to be a lot of pressure because of that, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not necessarily just from the fan base, but from themselves.
Yeah, internally, for sure. It's a big goal for them. And it brings us to this week's Husker Hot Topic because, hey, they're looking to get into this bowl. It's something that the program, these players have talked about needing. But if they lose to Iowa, they end the year 5-7. Is it a failed season?
I don't think so, because I predicted 4-8 mm-hmm. before the year. Granted, I can see why it would feel that way because it's ended the way that it has with close loss after close loss after close loss. And I know Nebraska fans are very frustrated with that just because bowl eligibility has been hanging there for the past like 3 weeks. And, you know, if they don't get there, well, yeah, you could say that it feels like a failure. But if I were to say Nebraska went 5-7, had one of the best defenses this team has had since 2013, does that change things? If you don't know the context and you just know the basics, I don't think that most people would say that that's a failure.
Yeah. I think certainly if they end the year having lost four straight, that's going to sting. But hey, take it back to last November. They hire Matt Rhule. Like, if you'd offered a lot of people five wins, I'm sure a lot of people would have taken that because they just came off a four-win year. Like, and even that was a struggle to get to those four wins. Like, that was a team that kind of played below its talent at times. And then I think you've got this year's team, which seemed to play above its talent level a little bit. In some of those certain wins, I mean, with some of the limited offense that they have, this defense is obviously very, very talented, a great group that's powered some of those wins. And so, yeah, I honestly think that already kind of that 5-win mark is pretty good, especially when you consider Matt Rhule's track record of usually the first year is a struggle getting those young players in, you know, trying to figure out what's going to work, what are going to be the solutions for the rebuild, you know, the problems that he's facing. And I mean, there's been a lot of improvements across the board. Like, how often have we talked about missed tackles this year? Like, almost never. I mean,
it was a little bit of a problem last week. But
okay. Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. But I mean, like, week in, week out, it's not been like, oh, they've missed so many tackles this week. Like, they missed a few here and there. I mean, that was such a big issue in 2022. Like, obviously, the turnovers have persisted. But I mean, that's been across coaching staffs, too. I just think that the overall growth that the young players have showed, some of the veterans who've been in this program for several years have made big jumps this year too. Like, I just don't think you can consider this season a failure with all the different growth that's happened.
Yeah, with all the growth, with, you know, all of the setbacks that they've had to, you know, just figure out to overcome.
Yeah, the injuries, of course, didn't even touch on that. Oh, yeah,
so many injuries.
I mean, if you look at the starting offense that they put out there against Minnesota and compare it to what they're going to start this week against Iowa, I mean, it's night and day. It's the vast majority of the unit will be different.
You don't even have to look like that. Like, look at who we talked to at Big Ten Media Days. Compare that to now.
Yep. Jeff Sims hasn't hardly played last few weeks. Piper out for the season. Luke Reimer missed a week. There in the middle of the season, he's come back strong. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Certainly the shift from the start of the year to the end of the year, I mean, they've weathered some of these different challenges. I think they've done a great job at that. And so, yes, the bowl game, that's the big goal that everybody would have circled going into the year. But regardless, I think a lot of positive moments they can take away.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we don't know for sure. We'll know after Friday. If that's the case, if you're going to have to start writing the postseason, you know, evaluating this year, or if they get to extend the year for a little bit longer, get that bowl game. And now that brings us to our score predictions. Do we think it happens? Do we think Nebraska gets that sixth win?
I do. I was optimistic last week, too. I have Nebraska 13, Iowa 9. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be cold. But I just think Nebraska's run game is better suited this week. Granted, I think a lot of Iowa's defense. I think Iowa's defense is great. That's why it's going to be very low scoring on Nebraska's end. But I just think Nebraska breaks one or two open, and that's the deciding factor here.
Yeah, I'll also predict a Nebraska win, 14-11. Not sure how Iowa gets those 11 points. There's some different, you know, safety, field goals, two-point conversions, missed extra points. You know, something's going to happen there.
So you think, write it down, Iowa's going to score a safety?
Maybe. I'm not going to definitively say that, but this feels, I mean, it feels like the type of game there could be a safety in it. But I will say just the overall result, I'm so concerned about the special teams, about field position, how Iowa's going to play that. They're a master at it. That's the reason why they've won so many games over the last few years. But I do think, I think Chubba Purdy is going to break off a big play, like maybe Ramir or maybe Emmett Johnson can make a big run, as he has, you know, some of these different, you know, 20, 30 yard gains, the type of play that, you know, maybe might not be a touchdown, but you need a chunk play or two to come up big against a tough defense like this. I think that the offense will have enough of those, but it is really going to be a case of defense, special teams playing such a big factor in this game.
Yeah, having Ramir would help.
Yeah, right. Having a few of those guys.
Yeah,
hurt.
Would help. But yeah, no, I totally agree with you. But yeah, I do also worry about special teams because Nebraska's special teams was a liability last week. And if they show up and play like they did last week, I don't think they win.
Yeah. And the other thing I'm interested in, too, is, I mean, Iowa, they've clinched the division. Like, do they play free, you know, with no pressure on their shoulders, or do they maybe come in not as motivated as they might have been? I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. Based on interviews that I've seen, they're not doing that. They're not overlooking this game, which it would be really easy to do that, right? But it's a rivalry game, so they're thinking about it. At least they say that they are.
Yeah. Talk is one thing. Action is another.
Indeed.
And so we'll see on Friday, of course. That game will be 11 a.m. on Black Friday. And as I mentioned earlier,
on CBS.
Yep.
Don't forget, 10-11 for those local.
Yep. So 11 a.m. football plays, and then 3 p.m. number one Nebraska at number five Wisconsin in volleyball. So a very big Friday there in Nebraska athletics. Of course, we'll have all the coverage for you at journalstar.com. The updates on the soccer team's NCAA tournament run and basketball action from the women's and the men's team this week. We'll have it all for you. So make sure to stay tuned. And of course, we'll recap it for you next week when we're back at it with another episode of Life in the Red. That'll do it for today's episode. Thanks for watching.